So today I'm going to talk about something that we don't like to talk about, exercise. Yeah. We don't often think a lot of times, you didn't get up this morning and say, hey, I'm in a race, right? Most of us probably got out of bed and kind of groaned a little bit and said, oh, another day. So we are in a race, and so I'm going to remind you this morning that we are in a race, and I don't like the idea of exercise, and probably many of you do not either. I know it's good for me, but I also know that ice cream is good for me. And so I just want to read a few scriptures here. Paul used this word race quite a bit. He probably had a lot of Greek influence, being from Tarsus, on his life. He spoke Greek, and he was raised in a Greek city, and so he was familiar with the Olympics. He was familiar with the competition in sports. And so Paul would write, 1 Corinthians 9:24, he said, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy in the 4th chapter wrote, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And the author of Hebrews writes in 12:1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so all three of these verses I could probably use in the title of my sermon is Ready, Set, Go, and I could probably bring out a outline for all three of those verses. But we're actually going to go to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to incorporate this scripture in reference to the race. And today I would like to talk about the rapture, the blessed hope. And so let's begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. How many have hope in the house? Amen. That was kind of weak, but we have hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have already fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command or shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And everybody said, amen. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so that's what I want to do this morning, encourage you this morning. So we're going to look at this scripture today in whole, the three that we read at the beginning, and 1 Thessalonians here, and I'm going to just use ready, set, go as my points here this morning. So the first one is ready. The Bible says we need to be ready. How many know that? For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It's going to come unexpected. It's going to come unannounced. And some will be taken and some will be left, right? They'll be left behind. And so we need to be prepared according to Paul and the author of Hebrews. And if we're going to run a race, we need to be prepared. And if we're going to follow Christ, we need to be prepared. So to begin with, if you're talking about a race, not just in our secular world, but in our spiritual world, we need to know the rules. How many know if you've ever been in track, there are rules in running a race. You know when to begin. You know when to begin. You know you need to stay within the lines. You need to know when you can cross the lines. And there are rules that dictate what you can eat, what you can, what you're not supposed to take, right? And so we need to know the rules. And even in following Jesus Christ, how many know there are some rules that we need to follow? The Bible is full of rules. It's not like the law, right? We live in freedom. We live by grace. But there are yet some guidelines in which we need to live by. We need to practice. How many know if you've ever run in a race, it pays to be be practiced up? And so those who run in a race, they practice, practice, and practice. And church, how many know we need to practice? Our faith is not just of words, but it is of action. It's of actually living it out. Those who run dress, I wouldn't say dress properly. Some of them, I think, need to wear a little bit more clothes than they wear. Even in the church sometimes, how many know? You'd like to tell some people, hey, you could use a little bit more clothes. But we need to dress properly. We know that those who run a race, they wear snug clothes. They want to wind resistant, right? And so be able to increase their time. They need to eat healthy. They need to stay hydrated. And how many know before you run a race, you better warm up, right? How many have ever been out in the yard with their kids and said, I'll race you, and you paid the price, right? You should have took about 20 minutes to warm up, right? All right. You need to warm up, right? How'd you start your day today? How do you start every day? Do you warm up before you even step out? Yeah, coffee, yeah. But some of you maybe watched the news, but how many know it pays to get prayed up? It prays to get into the Word before your day. It prays to get warmed up for what that day brings you. So we need to prepare ourselves mentally. And as Christians, we need to prepare ourselves spiritually. And so we need to be ready for the rapture. We need to live in anticipation that He can come at any moment. He could come this morning. He could come in 5 minutes. He can come next week. We don't know. But we live in anticipation that He is coming. We have been given three examples in the Bible. What's it going to be like? You can read the story of Enoch. One day he was there, one day he wasn't. We know Elijah had a little bit of a heads up because he knew where he was heading. But we also have another individual, Philip, in the New Testament, that found himself with the Ethiopian eunuch. He baptized him, they were coming out of the water, and boom, he was gone. He was somewhere else. And so we kind of get an idea of what it's going to be like. But what I want to say about these three, all three were ready. Even though they may not have expected it, they were ready. And all three were taken. And as believers here today, we need to be ready because we don't know when that day will be. So we've been given that same promise. Church, we need to be ready. And it is serious business. That we don't just think of our life here, but we think of the life that's coming. What's it going to be like? Hallelujah. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. It is serious business, and we need to talk about it more often probably than we ought. We sang some songs. The old hymns sang a lot about the day that was coming. And so in our modern songs, we don't hear a lot of what's coming. We live in the moment. The songs talk about the moment, what you're going through, what God can do for you now. But folks, isn't it good news what He'll do for us then? Hallelujah. That's the good news. I have a high school friend. He's probably one of my best friends. And I talk to him a couple times a year. Good friend, huh? You all have one of those type of friends that you're good friends, but you don't talk all the time. And once or twice, he's called me out of the blue. And I thought he was really wanting to talk to me. But he didn't. He just wanted to hear my voice. He just wanted to know I was still here on earth. He woke up and had this fear or this feeling that the rapture had taken place. And so he had called me, and I guess he figured if I was still here, then the rapture didn't take place. So it gets you wondering about his other friends, the people he was hanging out with, that he called me to see if the rapture took place. Like a runner preparing for a race, we need to be ready, church, for the rapture. We need to live in readiness. How many know that's the goal? That is the goal of believers today. I hope you are waiting for that day when Jesus comes. So we need to be ready. After official says ready, what does official say? Set, right? What that means is you don't move, you freeze. You know how runners all warm up, right? They stretch, they do all kinds of things in preparation for that. But when they get on the blocks, when they get to that starting line, what do? When he says, set, you don't move. You're ready to spring. You're ready to, you're tense. You're ready to go when the sound comes. The runner is alert in anticipation for the gun. And how many know a good start is essential to winning the race? They practice it over and over and over and over again, taking off out of the blocks to make sure that their time is the best it can be. But more important than the start is how you run and you finish the race. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." How many know we're not competing against other people? We're not competing with one another. But we are to run, what? With the prize in mind. Because the objective is to finish the race and to win that prize. Paul also wrote to Timothy in the second book, he said, "Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work. Just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize." How many know we can be disqualified? Paul said, "I don't want to preach to others and find myself disqualified." So Paul said, "I take care of business. I take care of me so that when I preach to others, we're all going together. I'm not going to be left behind." We had a track invitational at our school, and it was my chance, my one chance for glory, or at least a medal. And we didn't get it. But what I want to tell you here is how or what we practice is how we live. What you practice day in and day out is how you live, because practices become habits. And if we practice by the rules, we will never be disqualified. As I said, we had a chance to win. I was a four-man relay. Each of us ran a different aspect of it. And I was the first runner to take off. And I did the 400, which is one lap around the track. And so as I handed off the baton to the next guy, I saw that when he went around the corner, he stepped over the white line. And so on our track, there was a space between the inside lane line and the grass field, about a foot or two. And so in practices, you do as little as you possibly can, right? How many of you know that when you're practicing? It's not in our nature to put everything in every practice. And so when we practiced, you know, we would just run around the inside of that track, whether it was over the line or in the line. You know, that's how we practiced. And so when it came to the meet, I was praying when I saw him walk, step over that line into no man's land. I was praying that the officials didn't see it. And guess what? They saw it. And we were disqualified. You see, how or what we practice is how we live. It becomes a habit. It became a habit for him. He just cut across and stepped out of line, and we were disqualified. We said in Hebrews 12:1, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets and entangles us." That's about getting ready. We need to be ready, church. "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We must be set to run down the lane marked out for us. There is a path. There is a direction that God has laid out for us. And we must be ready. We must be set to follow that track, that role. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says this, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it is in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and another left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So, church, the ones that will be taken are those that are going to be ready and those that are set. And so I want to just talk about my third point here. Go. The Bible says that Jesus would return like a thief in the night. And we read that in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Even though Jesus is coming like a thief in the night, the world will know that he had come for his own. The first time Jesus came, the world didn't know that Jesus came. The people in Israel knew that Jesus came. It wasn't wide world news that Jesus came into the world the first time. It was shrouded in mystery. So what am I saying? In Jesus' first coming, only those associated with Israel heard of his coming and his death until the preaching of the gospel began to happen in the book of Acts. They didn't know Jesus had come. But at the rapture, if you'll get the video ready, when Jesus comes for his own, the whole world will know that he came back for his church. And I just want to set this up. This is a commercial by David Jeremiah about his book, The Great Disappearance. And I was kind of like, wow, that is awesome, because I really never thought about it. But listen to the video.
When the rapture occurs, the world will capture the moment. Cell phones, security cameras, law enforcement body cams, doorbell cams, and more will all bear video record of the Great Disappearance. The world will reel with concern from watching the strange, mind-boggling, and unbelievable video footage that goes viral across the globe. People vanish before their eyes, and all caught on camera. This event won't be science fiction, conspiracy theory, or mindless. When Christ comes for his people, it will be in the twinkling of an eye. Between the resurrected dead and the rapture, billions of people will exit this planet in an instant, but billions will be left behind. It will be chaos on our globe, but incredible, glorious joy in the skies. This is the rapture, the Great Disappearance. It is vital to know what the Bible says about this coming day, the next event on God's prophetic agenda for the earth. Are you ready?
Hallelujah. I love that. The whole world will know that Jesus came back for his church. And many will know, some will not understand, but many will understand. So let's not just watch it on the news, but let's be the news. And that's what I'm here today to encourage you. There was an article in the Progress News. It wasn't actually an article, but it was a letter to the editor. Maybe you read it. There's an elderly woman who noticed things were beginning to disappear in her apartment. Things were being moved around. And so when she told others about it, they just thought she was being forgetful. And then someone took her to out shopping one day, and they came back and they found out that what she said was true after all. So they went to the state police and they said, get a motion detecting camera. So they set it up. And so what they found out was the complex maintenance man was coming into the apartments when people were gone. And so they caught it on film, but they didn't send it in. And so when they complained to the main office, they refused to press charges because they didn't see the pictures. And so nothing was done to this individuals. But nothing was done. And as a warning, He wants to kill and he wants to destroy. This thief is a... time soon. And so, as a pastor today, I just want to encourage you today to get ready, set, and be ready to go. And I want to finish with one scripture here this morning. And Karen's going to kill me because I'm done early. But that's okay. But Titus chapter 2. And listen to what he writes here. Paul is writing this. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." What we're talking about here this morning, getting ready. Verse 13 says, "While we wait for the blessing..." How many set this morning? How many's right with the Lord this morning and ready if Jesus would come at any moment? And the third one is go. "And the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what..." I want to encourage you here this morning, be ready. Do what you need to do. Nobody has to tell you again and again. Be ready. And be set. Because we don't know the hour, we don't know the time that he's coming. Because there is going to be a shout one day. There is going to be... And there's no time for you to get ready. There's no time to say your prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." You won't have time to pray the Lord's Prayer. You won't have time to quote Psalm 20. We need to live with that tension here today. That any moment, any time, he can come back. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful today for your church. We are so grateful, Lord, that you're looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. We're believing, God, today that the individuals in this room may know you, but if they don't, if you're here today and you are not walking, if you're not ready for the Lord to come back like he came the first time, I encourage you this morning to deal with it. Don't put it off for tomorrow, because we may not have a tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when we open up our hearts and our minds to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, here I am. Yes, I've messed up. Yes, I've been disobedient to your commands. Yes, I haven't done what you wanted me to do. I've lived my life the way I've wanted to live my life. I've sinned. I've missed the mark. But today, Lord, I want to make things right. Because, Lord, I want to be ready." If you're here this morning, I'm just going to encourage you this morning, make yourself ready right where you're at this morning. Because you can speak to him in your heart and your mind this morning. We need to be set. That doesn't mean we need to be perfect. But it means we need to be in connection with him, because he's coming back for his own. And we need to ask that question, am I his this morning? Am I in relationship with him this morning? That's how we're going to be set. Because one day, the world's not going to hear it, but the church is going to hear it. There's going to be a great calling. And we as the church will rise. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Sounds kind of wild. But just as the disciples were watching Jesus ascend into heaven for the last time, the angels spoke to them and said, "Just as you see him going, he's coming back." Hallelujah. Today is the day that we get things right. It's time we maybe decide to stop playing the game And maybe it's time to get a little bit serious. I believe the greatest revival will be the day after the rapture. Because people are going to see that it was true all along. I don't want to experience that revival. I don't know about you. I encourage you this morning. Father, I pray for this body today. I pray for those that are listening online. I pray for those that are here. That, Lord, we would live our life in readiness, Lord. That we would do what we need to do. That we'd be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is whispering to our hearts. What the Word of God is saying to us. Today, Lord, we make things right. If you're here today, you need to make things right, make it right. Hallelujah. We just take a few moments, Lord, to just kind of realign ourselves, recalibrate here this morning to make sure we're on the same trajectory as you are. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for every person that's listening to my voice here today, Lord, that we would be ready, Lord. That, Lord, that we will get our focus off of just our everyday issues, Lord, and we begin to look to the heavens, Lord. We begin to look for that glorious promise, that blessed hope that you have in store for us. You told your disciples, I go and prepare a place for you. One day I'm coming back. I'm coming back to take you home. Lord, we're ready. If you so choose this morning, Lord, come. That's our prayer this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. He's good. Eye has not seen, right? The things that God has prepared for us. Hallelujah. Amen.